the Mills Fleet Farm Studios. WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie. A Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
2015 NFL Draft. The Minnesota Vikings select Trey Wayne, defensive back, Michigan State.
Mike Zimmer going into his second year as head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. He needed some help in that secondary, and he appears to have gotten it. Our first cornerback coming off the board, Brian, Trey Waynes, Pat Narduzzi, former defensive coordinator out there. I know, love this guy, and he is someone who is a physical player and one that should be able to step in and help that Mike Zimmer defense in Minnesota right away.
That's Gio from the Gio and Jones morning show. They did the draft special on 105 The Ticket last night. Before that, you heard the commissioner of the NFL. Everybody's a big fan of his.
Everybody loved him.
Loved him. Loved him, loved him, loved him. Roger Goodell. But anyway, the Trey Waynes pick, this is usually they rave about it, but I actually believe at this time that Zimmer really did want this guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there was no question. The fact that they stayed at 11 to take him because they had him so high on their draft board. The thing that's amazing is the first 10 picks, you've had, you had Gruden. And you had Kuiper, Mel Kuiper and John Gruden. They were raving about, oh, he's great. He's on, what a pick. They get the Trey Waynes. Bad feet. He needs work. Ah, this is a bad pick. I mean, that's basically what they're saying. The first guy they dog was Trey Waynes, the Vikings pick.
Which is weird. Zimmer gets production out of his defenders.
Yeah, and that's he has now a guy he can put with Xavier Rhodes and absolutely shore up that defense. And they're not, obviously they're not done. It was one round is all they went. And also note, by the way, I'm gonna get to this next thing because we need to talk about Adrian Peterson, that nothing happened and what the next line is. But what a weekend. Tonight you got the Wild playing the first game in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs in Chicago. We'll talk to Tom Reed in a short while from the Wild broadcast team. Of course, Tom Reed, Hockey City Pub. He's in Chicago. You've got last night, the Twins, they just massacred Chris Sale.
Who?
One of the best pitchers in baseball.
Chris Sale.
They sold
guy?
Him down the. They no, it was. They just pounded him. So they had. They gave you a glimpse of what might happen occasionally. 12-2, seven run third inning, and we were talking off air. Joe Mauer, the man's on fire, batting .318, 3-for-5 with a couple of ribbies. So good for him, good for them. But we also will talk about the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, the Kentucky Derby. Mike Gelfand will join us at 2:30. Worked together with him for about a quarter of a century on the KQ Morning Show, that he'll be with us at 2:30. We'll have the Trey Waynes news conference live for you. We're loaded today, but I wanted to mention about Adrian Peterson. He didn't get traded. It could still happen today, but it would have to be a team with one of the first few picks of the second round that would load him up. Right now, though, it sounds like Chris Carter was wrong, that he won't be traded, because now the agent, Ben Dagra, Adrian Peterson agent, is saying that Adrian Peterson, he'd be interested in staying here, but he wants more money. He wants guaranteed money. Is he kidding? He's already making the most of any NFL running back. He's on pace to be paid $46 million over the next 3 years, while almost $14 million this year, and they now want it guaranteed? They're crazy.
If he shows up and plays, it is guaranteed.
Absolutely. And if he gets hurt, it's guaranteed. Because he goes on the DL, he gets paid anyway. But this guy, this Dogger, is unbelievable. He wants to, one of the things that I appreciate with the Vikings is the resolve to say, we're not trading him. Okay, that's fine. That tells me they value him, not only as a football player, but what he's done for the organization. I actually, as an agent, not only appreciate it, I accept it. But actions speak louder than words. If that's going to happen and you want to keep him, then show a commitment to make him retire as a Viking. And I haven't had that solution. He'll retire as a Viking. You see, he's under contract through 2017, given the best contract a running back has ever gotten. And that's not enough for this guy. They just don't stop.
Like 3 years from now, that's typically when a running back would retire anyway.
Yes.
So.
You know what? And he could retire then or re-sign another deal. The Vikings, I see no scenario where they, unless they guarantee some money and give him less with the guarantee. But why would you guarantee anything? Unless you want to, you think it's worth taking a chance that he doesn't have a debilitating or career-ending injury, then you guarantee it.
Would the Vikings try and backload the contract then?
Well, they would have to do something to give them cap relief, but what they would do is instead of giving them $13 million, maybe they can knock it down to $10 million, guaranteed. They try to save money. That's the only way they would do it. There's no incentive for them to do it otherwise. If he doesn't show up, he doesn't get paid.
And with a guy that's still under contract for three more years, a running back, it'll take him into being 33?
Yeah.
Who gives a contract extension
Nobody.
To a running back at 30 years old?
There is no reason to... The only reason to even consider doing anything, if they want to, and this is the only leverage that he and Dagra have, if the Vikings want to reduce what they pay him this year and next year, then they say, you know what, okay, we'll guarantee, instead of guaranteeing $46 million, we'll just guarantee 2 years and we'll give you $30 million. Or guarantee, well, they'll guarantee a number, but they're not going to guarantee anywhere near what he's due to make. And as you said, it's guaranteed once he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
He gets hurt, he still gets paid. He just has to show up. What it hedges against is a career-ending injury this year, where he wouldn't get, the money's not guaranteed that he wouldn't get it beyond this year.
And when you see contracts like this, we've tried to put it, or the Vikings tried to put it at an end at that point for a reason. Similar to what they did with Kevin Williams.
Yes.
When it comes to the end of the contract, you know he's going to be a little bit less than he was, a shell of himself, so to speak. So you kind of want him to retire as opposed to having to offer them
to keep
another
paying.
Deal. So just hope they go away
but
on their own.
That said, if he was still knocking down 15, you know, 100 yards a year or more, yeah, then you may talk about it. Yeah. At 33, it's highly unlikely.
And you give him another year,
but
maybe
the guy's a specimen.
You don't add 2 or 3 years onto it right now. It makes no sense.
No. No, but see, they're not even asking to add to it right now. What they're asking for is the guaranteed. They want this contract guaranteed. And I don't see any, again, unless they get a major reduction in what he would be paid, guaranteeing that, even that I wouldn't do.
I would call and say, I do have a guarantee for you. I guarantee that we are overpaying for this guy right now.
Yeah. And be happy you're getting it.
Yes.
This guy doesn't say, he's just relentless. It's Dagra. That's amazing that they can even make this type of argument that he should get guaranteed money. Or it's guaranteed money that they want. There's no doubt about it. Because Tom Pelissero from USA Today, he spent the day with Dagra, and that's what the guy wants. He wants to get the money to be guaranteed. It's just, it's folly. It just doesn't make any sense. Now, this really is an incredible weekend coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Vikings still have the second and third round tonight. They finish the draft tomorrow. Wild play the first round game tonight in Chicago. Pacquiao Mayweather, Kentucky Derby. I mean, what a day tomorrow is.
Yeah.
You get the Derby, and then, you know, a few hours later, you can watch if you want to pay the ridiculous number, you get the fight. I heard our guy, Jim Rome, saying there's no way Pacquiao wins. Mayweather is just so much bigger and stronger and better and blah, blah, blah. He is bigger because Pacquiao is not a true welterweight. He moved up to, that's where the money is. But I would like to see Pacquiao beat Mayweather. To me, that would be a fun day. And the Derby, I think my favorite horse in the Derby is, because I love the name, Dortmund. And I found out Mike Gelfand, who will join
it's
us,
German.
As I said, at 2:30. What's that?
It's German.
Yeah, Dortmund. It's the name of a German soccer team.
Borussia Dortmund.
How do you know this?
You'd be surprised.
You are that into soccer.
The random things that I know.
You are that into soccer.
I just know some teams over there that play in different leagues.
Now, here's my problem with... there are names like Spectacular, you know, or Secretariat.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle Slew. Affirmed. These are Triple Crown winner names. Dortmund is not a Triple Crown winner name. American Pharoah, who's in that race, that's a name that could be a Triple Crown winner name. That's got a certain, you know, vibe and verve to it.
And it's an oxymoron.
Who are you calling a moron?
Lots of people.
I bet you are. But anyway, that one is one that, that's a name that I could see. And there's a few others, too. I don't think Ocho is a Triple Crown winning name.
Doesn't really sound.
Does that one hit you as one
no.
that you could like? And there's another one. There's International Star, which is not bad. That name's not too bad. And then there's Well, hold on a second. Let me get the, I know some of the names, but rather than, there's Materiality, which I think is not a bad name either. And there, I mean, there's some good names in there. You know, we'll wait, we'll do that when we talk to Mike Gelfand at 2:30. Right now though, this guy name is Jay. Jay Gillen, he actually sent me an email yesterday, and I had a little email conversation. I enjoyed talking to him. I said, well, why don't you come on, and we'll talk about it. He didn't like the way, remember when I read that line that Chris Thomason had from his mock draft about Cincinnati?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have it in front of me exactly what it was, but they're getting a guy that, you know, who basically has been in trouble with the law, and he hasn't even drafted him yet, if that was the guy they'd take.
Yeah, usually they go to the
usually
jail
they wait
after they're drafted by the Bengals.
Well, put Jay on, because he's going to set the record straight. Jay, how are you?
Doing well, how are you?
Good. Hey, I appreciate it. I did enjoy, you know, hearing from you, because it, and I knew immediately you were a Bengals fan at one. You grew up in Cincinnati, right?
I did, yeah. I grew up there. I live in Denver now, but yeah, I grew up in Cincinnati.
All right, then let me ask you this question. Yep. Skyline or Gold Star?
Oh, my gosh, not even close. It's Skyline.
That's where I would go. My only problem with Skyline, unless it's changed, and I haven't been to Cincinnati to have the chili in 20 years, but I was disappointed at the time. Why don't they offer chicken for non-meat eaters as one of the chili options? I think it would be huge for them.
Because I don't think there's a market for non-meat eaters in Cincinnati is the problem.
Well, that could be. I make Cincinnati style chili here, but I use chicken. I love it. You know, and if you don't know what Cincinnati, we had Hellboy. You know what Cincinnati style chili is?
I've never had it, and I've already forgot. Well, I know we've talked about it before.
People call it the noodles, but I call it the pasta on the bottom. Then you have your chili, and then you put your cheddar cheese on top. It's phenomenal.
Actually, I have done that. Chili's a very versatile food.
It is. Yeah. Now, can you, I've seen it here, Jay, where you can get it in the store, buy it, and then basically make it at home. Is it available out in Denver, the Skyline?
It is. Yeah, there's one store that carries it.
Is it any good?
No, it's better just to make it. Now that the internet is there, you can just make it.
Yeah, you can get your own thing. Now, the reason I wanted to talk to you, explain to everyone why you took exception to what Chris wrote about the Bengals and how it ties into the Vikings. Because I thought it was funny when you explained it.
So the big thing is I had to own that the Bengals were a bunch of thugs for a very, very long time.
Yes.
And they made the team made a conscious decision to stop kind of bringing that type of person in or minimizing the risk, the high risk players they're going to bring into the building. And so it's one of those things where it's kind of an eye roll thing.
Uh-huh.
And you hear it and all this, and I'm listening and it came up again. And I'm like, man, for the last 5 years, they've actually been a really good model organization. And then I kind of started chuckling because the Vikings are actually one of those teams that have had a real problem with it. And so to hear people who represent represent the Vikings market that kind of busted on the Bengals. So
and the numbers aren't even close from what you would say, because there is a database. The San Diego, is it the Tribune that does it?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
does it. I mean, the numbers aren't they're not close. The Vikings are so much worse.
Yeah. So I'll just run through them. So as far as arrests over the past 5 years, 19 arrests by for Vikings players, 12 from the Bengals. Convictions, there were 12 convictions of Vikings players and 4 from the Bengals. 6 misdemeanors from the Vikings, 3 from the Bengals. And then there was 1 felony. But the interesting thing about that felony was the Bengals cut him as soon as he had the felony, and the Vikings signed him, and he played for him for 3 years.
Inconceivable!
So,
that's right.
So Jerome Simpson is that guy, right? He's
right.
Nailed a big
he actually,
to his house.
Yeah, he overlaps both teams.
He does, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't know how you want to count him, but... I don't think that it's I don't think that it's a reflection on me as a person, as a Bengals fan, when they were bad. But at the same time, you kind of,
I know, you take you want to set the record straight. Well, Jay, I appreciate you getting in touch with me and you taking the time now, because I just wanted Viking fans to hear that, because you're right. Their players have been much worse. So, well, Jay, enjoy Shane Ray out there in Denver.
Oh, yeah, that should be interesting. I'm just glad the Bengals didn't take him.
All right, thanks a lot, Jay. Take it easy.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, you too. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we will talk to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom's the man. We'll be right back with him.
It's time to get fired up for some Wild playoff hockey. Join Radioactive Sports at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before the game. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Olsen will be live at Tom Reed's from 4 to 7 in the afternoon for weekday home playoff games. Get to St. Paul early for live pregame Stanley Cup coverage on the show. Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub is right next to Xcel Energy Center on West 7th Street. The radioactive sports broadcasts are presented by Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski, and Atkins. Cup coverage you can count on. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Big night tonight. The Wild in Chicago. Game one, second round. And Tom Reed is there and will be there. Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, which will be hopping tonight. A Friday night, Tom, 8:30 start. That place will be jumping.
I would expect it would be, Bob, and no question. This is a good start, I think, for this hockey club right now. They played so well in their last series against the St. Louis Blues. They were the underdogs in that series. And I think they're the underdogs in this series as well. So that bodes well for Minnesota. They always seem to play their best when they are second fiddle to some of the other teams.
You know, Tom, I know it's not. I mean, it just ended, over the weekend. But it seems like it's been a month since they've played. Do you get the feeling it's been a long time, or has the time been, because you're very busy with this, has it been not that bad of a wait?
No, it hasn't been too bad. Both teams have had the same amount of time pretty well as far as having days off. So that should give the little bumps and bruises that so many of the players have during that series to kind of heal up a little bit, and hopefully should be a very good series. And I expect it will be. I think there's only one injury really that has taken place, and that's going to be Versteeg of Chicago. Is going to be able to lower body injury. Not sure exactly what it is, but he's the only guy right now that seems to be on the sidelines other than Keith Dowler from Minnesota.
Now, Tom, when we talked during the series with the Blues, you had a pretty good sense of how if these guys were loose, and you could tell things. I overreact to it, but how they are in the pregame skates and the skates between games, and they were loose every time I talked to you with the Blues. Same thing, I'm guessing, with getting ready for this series.
Yeah, they're a little bit quieter today, though. It was interesting because I was talking to Daryl Sador coming back here, and he said even this morning on the ice, he said, you know, the intensity does ramp up a little bit the farther you go. I mean, you become much more involved in what's happening, away from the ice itself. You start to think a little bit more about what your role is in that position. But I think for the most part that they seem to be pretty comfortable right now as where they are. And I think they're going to have a good series. I really do. I think it's going to be a tremendous series for Minnesota.
So you take that more as they're just getting more focused. Is that
I think that's what it is. Yeah, because you know what? There's no question. They played Chicago the last 2 years in the playoffs. 2 years ago, Minnesota was not very good. They had a number of goaltending situations. Last year, same type of a thing. But I think when you look at Minnesota this year, they're healthy. Their goaltending is much stronger than before. And they're obviously a little more advanced, I think, as far as the experience of being in the playoffs. A lot more players have had that chance to taste what it's like to have postseason play.
Well, if you're the Wild and if you're a Wild fan, you have to be feeling great about this, because not only do you have better goaltending than you've had the last 2 years, beyond the fact that, as you just noted, these guys have playoff experience, Chicago's a team that's having some goaltending issues, which they didn't have the last few years.
Well, they have. That can be resolved in a hurry too. And there's no question. No. Corey Crawford, you know, and he had a couple of difficult starts at the beginning of the playoff series. But you know, you go back over the last 2 years, he's played every game against Minnesota in the playoffs. Back in 2013, he played all five games. He won them all. Last year, he played in all six, and he won four of the six games. So he knows what it's like to be in that position. And he was part of the tandem that won the William Jennings Award this year. Also, he and Price of Montreal each had the same record of the fewest goals against in the league at 189. So he's a guy that can step up again, and he certainly has the firepower in front of him.
And he will start tonight. You don't anticipate. I mean, he may actually, because of his history with them, he may be, unless he gets shelled, might be in there for however long the series goes.
Well, he could be, and Joel Quenneville has the utmost respect for him.
Yeah, then that's there's great reason to.
You know, when you look at his, he's had 59 games in playoff competition. He's won 33 of those, and this year, you know, when you look at his record on the year, 2.2, it's not the greatest, but at the same time, almost 924 save percentage, which is good. So he knows what he has to do. And, you know, you go with a veteran like him right now, and you have to be concerned about being able to score goals against him. But on the other side, you have to be able to keep the other guys from scoring goals. I'm talking about Kane and Taves, and you got Hossa, and you got Seabrook, and you got Keith. I mean, you got Sharp. The list goes on and on. So Minnesota really has to be very, very solid defensively, especially in the Dwight's area.
And Tom, do you anticipate, talking to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team, and of course Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, you anticipate Mike Yeo to do any lineup tweaking for matchups?
Well, he doesn't get the last change here, so it's going to be difficult for him to do that. No, his lineup is going to be basically the same as it has been for the last couple of games. And I think it's going to, you know, the players are playing with confidence right now. They seem to have a chemistry. They've moved Nina to that second line a couple of games ago, which seemed to help them. And they moved Zucker back to that third line. He needs to step up just a little bit more in the playoffs. We're hoping that will happen tonight. But Minnesota, this will be a series, I believe, Bob, that will be of speed and finesse. Both these teams have got the speed, and you look at the opposition. They certainly have some high-end players. You always talk about Taves and Kane every time you talk about them. But you look at Hossa. Hossa has had a tremendous amount of playoff competition. He's played 177 games of playoff.
That's incredible. That number.
I figured out just a little while ago, when I take Chicago's roster and I figure how many games have playoff games do these guys have totally? They have 1,600. Minnesota has 890, and they've got five guys who have
the numbers
competition.
It's staggering.
Oh, they're staggering. Yeah, they are staggering. But you know what? I don't believe Minnesota is afraid of these guys. Minnesota feels that they can do well. They won the last two games of the season against them, and both of those when Dubik was in net. Before that, he was not in net, and so they feel very confident with a guy who's 6'6" between the pipes.
You know, now the numbers are certainly not the same, but there was a young man who played well. He played in the NHL a few years ago. He had 42 NHL playoff games. You know, that's not too bad. He had his penalty minutes dwarfed his points, 49-14. But that young Tom Reed had a pretty good run of playoff games. You didn't know what I was talking about, did you?
I didn't know what you're talking about. Who the hell is he talking about? You're talking about me. I don't even know what those numbers are. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You had 42 games, and you had one goal and 13 assists, and you had 49 play penalty minutes. That's a pretty good number for 42 games. You remember most of them?
Yeah, remember them all. Yeah,
that's funny.
That's right.
No, that's not. I mean, that's nothing.
That's pretty good.
That's nothing wrong. 42 games is pretty good. And that was over what? That was over six seasons of postseason play. The North Stars. Well, you guys went pretty deep here. 1970-71, you had 12 games. So that's three series, right?
Yeah, that was a pretty good year for us that year. That's
Yeah. So did you go three rounds, or was that two, a couple of 1-7 game and then a 5 game? How did that one go? Do you remember? We've had some. Tommy, are you there? Because we've had some. It sounds like his phone's been a little bit of an issue.
A little wonky.
Yeah, wonky is a good way to put it. You know what? If Tom is not there, we will say this about it. Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Every time we have Tommy Reed, I ask him what the specials are. Let me just say on his behalf, everything at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub is special. You can't go wrong with the drinks or the food. It is one of the best sports-themed bars you can go to. I love going to that place because he's got the best, well, not only just the best hockey, some of the best sports memorabilia. It's all hockey, but some of the best you would find anywhere. So I would urge people to consider going to Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub tonight to watch the games. And again, what a weekend we got coming up. The Mayweather-Pacquiao fight tomorrow night. Tonight, second and third round, the Vikings, you know, let's see what they do with the second round pick. Maybe now they'll go for an offensive lineman. Maybe they'll go for, I mean, they can go defense again, and they can go wide receiver. There's good players yet at every, may go for another cornerback for all we know.
You could see him taking an inside or an outside linebacker, because you can always move Greenway into the middle for a season or two. You could see him going receiver. I know a lot of people thought we might go receiver in the first round.
Well, how about this? If there's if there's a good safety sitting there, why not really shore up that secondary in the second and or third round?
See, well, not
and
or. That's a possibility.
Why not? You got everything is open to you because there are still some darn good players sitting there. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, Like I said, I worked with him for about a quarter of a century. I hate to date myself like that, but Mike Stretch Gelfand will join us. For 25 years, he has been making Kentucky Derby picks, and he will do that again with us when we return. You don't want to miss Mike Gelfand making his Derby picks as soon as we get back.
Later today on Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson at 4.
Join us out on the patio at the office on Washington. Free parking in the back. We'll talk about the Vikings drafting Trey Waynes, the big Wild Blackhawks game tonight, tomorrow's boxing match, and so much more.
I hope that he likes that music.
I don't know.
It's a very...
I just flipped a coin.
Well, it's a very special guest here. He probably likes Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, too, by the way. We are joined by Mike Gelfand. I spent many years with him on the KQ Morning Show. And, Mike, how many years have you done now Derby picks? It goes back, I mean, you've probably done it for as long as I've known you when you were on the Morning Show, right?
Yeah, I think it goes back, I guess, probably to 1985 or 1986, the first years that Canterbury was open.
Wow.
Because I was handicapping at Canterbury or across the street at the Canterbury Inn pretty much since the beginning. The first year, of course, the great year, 85, when the track opened, and it was just such a frenzy out there before they built the casino up the road.
Yep.
You know, it was, I was doing picks at the Canterbury Inn. I mean, we'd get 200 or 300 people in there some days, and I think in a few years after that, there'd be 3 or 4 people who were just drunks left over from the night before. So I don't know if I was the one who was responsible for clearing them out or what, but the first year out there, George Chappell, Dark Star, was doing the picks at the Canterbury Inn. And George had a following there, you know, because he's a charming guy.
Yeah.
And he's very entertaining. But after the first year, the guy who owned the place called me and he said, I got to get rid of Dark Star. I told him he could drink free here, and all his friends are on the tab now, and I'm losing a bundle.
He just invited his pals.
Well, you know, George had a lot of friends.
Well, it might have been why there were 200 people there the first time you did it.
They might have been. They were probably all going up to the bar and saying, it's on Gelfing.
Now, do you remember the who won? I mean, that would be one heck of a memory, but who won the first year you did it?
Oh, I do remember. It was Ferdinand, yeah.
Oh, wow, that is going. Now, did you pick him that year?
Oh, I never picked any winners in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, for people who are listening, if you think I'm giving you something special, forget it. Yeah, that was that year that Ferdinand won, and he got that great ride from Bill Shoemaker.
Wow.
Yeah, that was, I remember that vividly. I don't remember most of the other ones, but I do remember that one. I think Ali Sheba won the next year. And there were a lot of really nice horses in those years. So then we went through a period where there were kind of a lot of really obscure horses that nobody picked. And then, of course, last year we had California Chrome,
yep,
who I think was the favorite, as I recall.
I believe so, yep.
Yeah, and he ran a great race. So, and this year, who knows? Generally speaking, if you're going to make money on the Derby, it's picking the favorites not the greatest idea. But I don't know. We got a couple pretty good ones this year. So who knows?
Well, now let me ask you about this, because there's a guy here that he loves the Derby, and I think he said he'd picked 6 of the last 8 because he really gets into it. Mm-hmm. But he said this year
you should get him on the show. I'd
much rather have you to lay it out. But he was saying this might be one of the toughest year, because not any one of them, but any one of 6
mm-hmm.
could easily win this, because the good ones are pretty well bunched together. Is that something you see too when you look at this?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, on paper, I'd say it's the 2 Bob Baffert horses that look really good. But the thing that makes it a little iffier is the fact that one, it's the Derby, so we know that over the years a lot of horses that look great didn't run at all. And 2, there's an amazing number of horses in the races here, more than I have ever seen, that want to be right on or right near the lead. So the pace looks like it's going to be pretty frenetic, and you don't win this race wire to wire, and you don't win this race even near the front if it's a really fast pace. So in that sense, he might be right, because if these two get cooked up on the lead, yeah, then it's anybody's race. But after that, I wouldn't say 4. I'd say after that, maybe 10 or 12.
Well, and the point you make is I looked at it yesterday with this guy, and materiality, that horse takes the lead on the first turn and doesn't, you know, hasn't given it up. And there's other ones like that, too. They're not charging. They're just getting in the lead and holding it.
Yeah, well, you know, holding the lead in the Florida Derby, which materiality did, and at a really fast pace was impressive. But then American Pharoah has been just, I mean, I saw American Pharoah, who was the favorite. I saw his race at Oaklawn when he won the Arkansas Derby, which is always a very prominent race and a great feeder race for the Kentucky Derby. And he just ran his own race, you know. And that's a rare horse that can do that, a horse who runs his own race. In other words, it doesn't really matter to him who is where. He just went out pretty fast, and then Victor Espinosa pushed the button, and then he just drew off 1/8. They can say that, well, he hasn't faced anybody, but the reality is he's crushed everybody, so maybe his opponents don't look so good. So he's the favorite, but yeah, the fact that that he's going to be in against a tough pace, and the fact that nobody really knows how good his competition is or was, yeah, that's definitely a factor. He's got, as I said, Baffert conditioning him, and Baffert's had a lot of success in this race. But the pace of the race makes this a lot more uncertain. And of course, the fact, you know, that it's a full field, so probably a quarter of the field will be eliminated on the run to the first turn.
Well, actually, you mentioned that in American Pharoah, because it's such a big field, he's in the 18th spot. How far out, I mean, is that a spot that you see many Kentucky Derbies won by a horse that far out?
Yeah, I think that he got bumped to the 17 hole because of
somebody pulled out. Okay.
And some people would say that's even worse. I might be wrong about that because I haven't paid much attention to who's where, but I believe that's true, and I believe that nobody has ever won from the 17 hole. Of course, you know, that's not a real meaningful statistic. I think that's just an anomaly. But it is a long ways out, you know, and he's a very fast horse, and he can get position out of the gate. So I don't know that it's a deal killer, but you're going to lose ground because there's so much speed inside him. So yeah, he's going to have to go a little wide. A lot wider than, say, Dortmund, who was the other Baffert horse, who a lot of people thought would be the favorite going in. He had some pretty good speed figures, and he comes in undefeated. He's 0-6. So that's pretty impressive. And he won the Santa Anita Derby wire to wire. And he looks, on paper, he looks probably faster, I hate to say it, than materiality. But I think he could be faster than him. So those two, hey, they might, you know, they don't show any evidence that they can be rated off the pace. So those two might go out and just kill each other. So, but there could be others on the pace. So it's interesting. You know, Baffert, one of the things we're seeing right now in sports with this great cluster of frenzied sports activities, the NFL draft.
Yep.
Now we're looking ahead to the boxing match. Now we're looking ahead to the Kentucky Derby. I mean, nice guys don't finish first. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have.
You know, we got an accused rapist who's the number one pick, and let's just say he's innocent of that. He's guilty of a lot of other things. You know, he's not the kind of guy that he's not going to be winning any of the awards for gentlemanly conduct.
No.
But he's a great football player. And then you got the fight. Well, I mean, it's, you know, very, very rarely going into the fight do you have a couple guys who are Boy Scouts and volunteer at the Children's Hospital. So so that's not a great shot. But on the other hand, the favorite to win the fight is a guy who's been convicted of beating his wife or girlfriend, what, about 7 or 8 times.
And he has a son who called him a coward
for
his behavior.
So that continues the theme. And then we can go right ahead, if we want to the Derby. Now, some people love Bob Baffert, who, as I say, trains probably the two favorites. But this is a guy who had 7 horses die of heart attacks in a period of 11 months. So,
is that right?
And you're a horseman. So you know, Bob, that 3-year-old horses or 2-year-old horses or whatever, however old they are, don't typically just keel over and die of a heart attack for no particular reason.
No, often it's chemically induced.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. So it makes, if there's 7 of them, that just kind of makes you wonder, you know, what's going on, what's coursing through those veins. And I can tell you this, I love horse racing. Horse racing's been good to me, and I don't want to say anything bad about the game, but it's a trainer's game right now. And track after track, there are not so much at Canterbury. I will say that. They do a great job of policing it at Canterbury. But at an awful lot of racetracks, there's one, maybe two trainers who dominate. And these are guys who claim horses, and 2 weeks later, they're running five lengths faster than they've ever run before.
That is training. Boy, wow.
It's great training, you know. And one of our local trainers who was who fit that profile, they call them super trainers, went like, I think, 0 for 134 one year, and the next year he won like 30% of his races. And they asked him how this could be, and he said, well, he really looks closely at the horse's teeth and just makes sure that they're in good shape.
Well, he's got a good equine dentist, that's what it is.
No one else, you know, no other trainer ever thought about looking at a horse's teeth.
Let's see where he is. Hey, Mike, let's take a quick break, sure. And when we get back, I want to ask you, if you happen to be going to Canterbury tomorrow, because a lot of people will,
yeah.
How they should, not who they should bet on, but how they should bet. Should they bet just for the horse they like? Should they do the win play show? Should they do a
right. You know,
exact try? Whatever you think is the best advice to spend your money. We'll do that, and we'll talk a little bit about the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, too. We'll do that with Mike Gelfand in a moment when we return.
Joined Radioactive Sports at the office on Washington Avenue for Twins Ticket Friday.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will be there from 4 to 7 outside on the patio, along with our ticket girls, giving away tickets to that night's game and future games.
From the office on Washington and 844 Hay Workers, get fueled up before the game with $3 cold domestic drafts and a great full menu.
Radioactive Sports, live at the office on Washington before Friday Twins home games. Then walk right over to Target Field.
Finally, an office you can have fun at with Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We're back, and we are joined again by Mike Gelfand. He and I were together on a KQ morning show for about a quarter of a century. Boy, that sure makes me, both of us feel a little older, I would like to admit.
50 years of experience between us. That's the way I look at it.
Well, but you, your experience shows mine. I'm still learning the biz. But
you're sounding fine, Bob. You're still screaming, of course, but that's just you.
That's me. Yeah. Goes without saying.
That's right.
Now, a lot of people, if you give them the right call here, not even the right horse, how to spend their money if they go to Canterbury or bet this, should it all go into picking the winner? Or how would you advise people breaking up their money?
No. It is a fun race to bet. It's it is, I think, as people say, it's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, unless you count one of the Twins trying to steal a base.
This could be too.
Yeah, but no, I think in the Derby especially, you got so many horses that, and you've got such a history of long shots that I don't really handicap it for favorites. I handicap to try to find a horse at a price. Now, I will say this, especially with 20 horses in the race, if I'm going to pick, say, three or four horses that might pay a price, I'm definitely going to play them under the favorites because, you know, I've seen this happen to a lot of guys. Oh, I like the 20-to-1 shot, and he finished second. He got beat by the favorite. Oh, so, you know, you probably had the exact. No, I didn't have the exact. Well, look, in a six-horse race, the horse that finishes, if you like the horse that finishes finishes second and you bet it for first, I mean, even with the favorite, that horse might pay, $15.
Yep.
In the Derby, that horse might pay $150. That's because the prices are just outrageous because of all the horses in there. Now, obviously, that makes it that much tougher that you're going to win, but forget about that for the moment.
Well, and you mentioned a 20-to-1 shot. Another horse that's in that group at 20-to-1 is International Star. This horse, I don't know if he's lost a race.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a front runner,
I think. Yeah, he's International Star. Now, the knock on him would be, and this would be my knock on him as much as anyone else's, he's lost a few races, but he's won the last three, and they were all graded stakes. And he won, and he comes out of a win in the Louisiana Derby, but you know, it's been a long time since a horse came out of the Louisiana Derby and won the Kentucky Derby. It's not the track it once was. And So this horse is, I think the horse last time I looked was about 20-1.
That's where he is, yep.
Yeah, and I don't think he changed much. I was looking, in fact, I was just now looking at the current prices, and he was still right in there at 20-1. Dortmund, who a lot of people thought would be the favorite, he was 3-1 in the morning line, but right now he's 5-1. And, of course, the horse that's the favorite now, and that would be American Pharoah. He was 5-2 the morning line. Right now, he's 2-1. So, no shock there. He's the buzz horse right now. Could go even lower, but I think 2-1 would be about right. So, but there, look, there you can make a case for a lot of horses here. I'll tell you the horses that just give you two or three that I think can win at a price. Because of all the speed in the race, I'm looking for horses who can sit back a little bit. They don't have to come from the clouds, but they can sit back a little bit. And I think that that's the big thing. One that, you know, you mentioned, I think, you mentioned Materiality.
Yep.
And no one knows if he can sit back. The problem, I'm just going to give you this stat. The problem with him is he's trained by Todd Pletcher.
Who doesn't win?
He doesn't win the Derby. He wins, but not the Derby. He's 1-40 in the Derby.
Wow. Oh, he got the one.
So, but you know what? If you like him, I'm not going to talk you out of it because I don't want anybody saying I took him off a $50 horse. So
well, he's due.
So here's a few long shots. I would bet a small amount to win. I would bet them under the favorite of the favorites, maybe the two Baffert favorites. And you know, if you want to get creative with trifectas, I don't discourage that either. But the first one is a horse that's 30-1 in the morning line, and that's Danzig Moon. I would say his speed figures are a cut below, but the deal with him is he's a pure closer. He can come from way back if that's the way it sets up. If Leperoux, Julian Leperoux, who is the jockey, who's a great jockey, if he could get a perfect ride on the horse, yeah, anything could happen. So Danzig Moon coming out of the five hole, he's worth, I think, a very small bet. I'm not gonna put a lot of money on him, but he is worth a small bet. Firing Line, he's a horse I like a little bit. Firing Line, 12-1 the morning line, and I think he's still about 12-1. And he off the layoff, he just missed in the Santa Anita Derby, and that's a key race coming in, and he got beat by Dortmund in that race by a head. So he's a horse who looks like he might be able to rate at least a little bit.
Yep.
So he's a horse that I kind of like. He's not going to be a massive price, but I kind of like him. Frosted's another horse who, off his last race, the Wood Memorial victory, where he came from pretty far off the pace, he's got a pretty good shot too. 15-1 morning line, though, he was bet down. He has been bet down so far, 9-1. So I guess that's a little problem. But off his Wood Memorial win, yeah, I think you got to take a pretty good look at that one. And then another one you definitely want to look at is Upstart. He's out of the 19 hole. That's not so great, but he's a big price, and he's 15-1 in the morning line. And it looks like he can rate a little bit, and he comes off a second place showing in the Gulfstream Derby, which in the Florida Derby at Gulfstream. So he's one to look at, too. So I'd say all those horses are worth a small price. And
you'll be out there tomorrow. Are you going to go to Canterbury?
Well, I would love to be out there, and I still love going out to Canterbury. But for the big races,
yeah, that's right.
I like to stay home and just bet on my computer.
Yeah, actually, that's a better way to do it, Mike. We have to go to the interview with we're going to air with Trey Wayne. So thank you so much for
sure.
Taking this time. It was great talking to you. And just give me the winner, Pacquiao Mayweather. Who do you like?
Yeah, I like Mayweather, and but I had a note or two for you on the fight. I saved it for the last because it's the best note.
Well, can we call you back? We'll call you about 3:40.
Call me back because you don't want to miss this.
No, we won't. We'll call you back at about 3:40 before for our last segment.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Mike. We'll talk, Mike Gelfand. Thank you. We're going to talk to him again a little bit later in the show. We'll take a quick break, and we're going to be bringing you that Trey Wayans news conference. Thanks, Mike.
Minnesota Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We're going to be joined a little early by Ruth Lorden at Psychic Roots, ruthlorden.com. because we're going to go to the Trey Wayans news conference right around 3. But let me just say this about Ben Dagra. I'd say over $13 million a year is one hell of a commitment. The highest paid NFL running back. And Ruth, by the way, has been saying for months that she sees AP in purple. So it appears that he, you know, from what she said and what's happening, he's not going anywhere. Now, Ruth, I want to ask you what vibe you got from the Vikings' first-round pick, Trey Wayans. Seemed like a good kid?
Yeah, remember last week? I got a good vibe from him. I liked him. I felt energy around him. Now, I do feel he has tremendous energy, and he wants to do things right. So let's hope he gets a mentor like they want to give Cordero.
It's a tough name. Cordero Patterson.
Yeah, Cordero. I used to like him, and I do feel he has a chance this year to show his shots. He may come back. But if this the Trey person gets the right mentoring, he will be fine because he's got the energy and he wants to do it.
Well, he's got Mike Zimmer as a coach, so he's got the right mentoring. Now, let's ask you about you followed the horses in the Kentucky Derby, and you were telling me off the air, if you were to bet it, because I asked Mike Gelfand how he'd do it, you would bet it one specific way.
Yeah, I would be betting that American Pharoah and that horse with the D.
Dortmund.
I would be at the window or on the phone making two different bets. I would bet each of those horses to show.
Because you're confident that one or the other will be at least, say, either one could be first, one second, but you're sure that one will be second.
Well, second or third.
You mean bet to show.
Win, play. That's what I said.
So you're saying,
win, place, or show.
So
yeah.
But you say bet to show, so yes. Bet for third.
Yes, bet both of those horses to show. You don't get a big payday. It's not you're not shooting the moon, but you're slow and steady winning the race, and you're going to make some money.
Well, of the horses, though, who do you feel is going to win? I don't think Ocho is going to win.
I like American Pharoah. I know there's a whole nonsense about his positioning, but that's not going to make a difference. I was listening on the way in about Gelfand saying it was a trainer's game, and that rang true to my soul.
He's right about that, yeah.
That rang true to my soul. It really is, and it's too bad they're drugging, and that's just the reality.
Well, that's an allegation.
Allegedly.
Well, they're giving them vitamins. Let's call them vitamins.
I think the Vikings could use some.
Some vitamins.
Yeah, some vitamins. By the way, the female football team won again.
Your Vixens?
Yes, they're 3-0.
3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yes.
Now, tell me again now. Okay, you like American Pharoah. I think, American Pharoah to me has a Triple Crown winning name. Dortmund is not the kind of name you see from a Triple Crown winner. It just doesn't have that. There has to be some sort of a feeling of, like Secretariat is a great name for a Triple Crown winner. Same thing with Seattle Slough. That, to me, is the great name for a Triple Crown winner. And not only that, there's Affirmed. That's a strong name for a Triple Crown winner. And now those are just, you know, the few that were most recently. But and here's the other ones. Sir Barton, a regal name. Gallant Fox, that's a heck of a name. Omaha, War Admiral. I mean, what could sound better for a Triple Crown winner? Whirlaway, Count Fleet, Assault, Citation, and then we get the Secretary at Seattle Slough and Affirmed. Those are great names for horses. I just don't see in that string Dortmund. And Dortmund, by the way, is Hellboy and I were talking about. I'm shocked he knew this. It's a German soccer team, right?
Yep.
And the owner of that horse uses soccer team names for his horses. He might own the teams for all I know. Now, how's Trey doing? Still an empty podium?
Yeah, they're just moving the camera up and down. They took a couple of nice shots of the ceiling.
Well, you know what? Should we take a quick break now? Or should we go? No, we'll go another minute or so. Because we don't want to miss the beginning of it for you. We have to time this right. Now, Ruth, are you Wild? Blackhawks tonight. I know you've told us you were conceived the night of a Blackhawks win. So you have a connection there. So who do you see winning tonight?
The Wild. They may not win tonight, but they're winning this series. And let's just say that my psychic connections, vibrations, whatever, the Blackhawks are very concerned. The front office of the Blackhawks are very, very concerned about this Minnesota team.
Well, they should be.
And, you know, I do still see them touching the Stanley Cup.
Wow. Well, how about Mayweather-Pacquiao, the big fight tomorrow night?
I'm I am feeling that Pacquiao's going to try for a knockout, even though everybody thinks it's going to go all those rounds and everybody's got to make their money. Everybody wants to see a fight. He's going to try something, but something tells me Mayweather wins.
Okay. You know what? We're going to take a quick break. Thank you to Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth. We're going to listen to Trey Wayans when we return. We'll be right back.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams down into the lead. McMurray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
Denny Hamlin looks to defend his title at the Geico 500, live from Talladega Super Speedway. Tune in Sunday morning at 11 for pre-race coverage.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Hey, you know what? The Trey Wayans news conference is starting with Rick Spielman talking. Let's go right to that.
What type of character and what type of person Trey Wayans is,